Welcome to this JoeCon site special edition of What's on Joe Mind. We're a weekly fan cast about the world of G.I. Joe. Hello to all of you for the second time this week. Listen to all of our partner sites, GeekCastRadio.com, InsidePulse.com, Stitcher Smart Radio, and YoJo. Well, just over 24 hours ago, the fandom let out a huge sigh of collective relief as the G.I. Joe Collectors Club finally announced the site of the 2012 convention. For a lot of us fans, the entire year's vacation centered around the con, and for a lot in the community, pieces begin to fall into place for other events. Often we don't know what's going on at any time, so it's an important time to get the convention scheduled so we can start planning. Hello again, everybody. Thanks for joining us. I'm Gary. This will be my 10th convention coming up. Joining me, as always, and moving up to number 2 spot in the order, is the admin at GeneralJoes.com, contributor to the G.I. Joe Collectors Club newsletter, and 7-time convention vet, Justin.
What's going on, Gary? How you doing?
Oh, just it's a glorious time. It's we now know when Christmas is going to be. It just needs to get here now. We know when and where.
Exactly.
Hey, we are running on light today. It's just Justin and myself as a regular co-host, but we did bring in a pinch-hitting mercenary that really knows his conventions. So Greg was unable to make it tonight, so was Chuck. So pinch-hitting for Greg will soon to be an 11-time convict, not convict. Joe Guru and Answer Man. Online you know him as Roshan, but we know him as Josh. Please welcome him to the program.
Hey, Gary,
hey, we're doing good.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I appreciate you just definitely coming on from short notice. I was thinking today, I was like, who else can we get on? Oh, Josh. So, Josh, what do you think of the news so far and your initial thoughts?
Well, first off, it's nice to get news so far in advance. Usually we have to wait so long. I was so close to the con itself. I remember, what was it? Was it Dallas a couple years ago? We only got like a month or two notice before we even had a chance to know where the con was at, or was it the hotel? Do you remember?
Generally, they give us the town city name pretty well in advance, but that might have just been the hotel. I do remember
hotel registration. Yeah,
yeah, I think it might have been that.
Cut it really close 1 year to get registered for the hotel room and stuff. Yeah,
but it's also nice to get the con back in the summertime. I know a lot of people who wanted to go to Orlando couldn't quite make it because of the timing. I mean, a lot of the regulars were still there, but I know, you know, it did hurt a lot of people's schedules, so this is nice to have it. I mean, if you're going to have, I don't really like it being back in New Orleans. I don't like multiple con locations. There's so many different places they could go, but New Orleans was a great show and a great location, and really, given the time frame that it was last time, it's going to be nice to see the city again from a completely different perspective now that it's post. Really?
When was that, the dates of the first New Orleans convention? And yes, it has officially been announced for New Orleans. I haven't said the site or the dates yet, but we're just kind of talking
I'm sorry.
That's okay. When was the dates of the first New Orleans convention?
It was very shortly. I feel bad because I don't remember the exact timing of Katrina. It was the year after Katrina, I believe.
Well, we'll look that up while we're sitting here talking. Really, the purpose of the show, we're not going to talk about any other news. We're not going to talk about what we got this week. We're not going to do any. We actually do have an email that someone sent, because I said if you have any questions about the show, send in an email. And actually, P-Love did, so we're going to read P-Love's email. But basically,
P-Love, man, he knows it all. What's he sending us?
He actually sent a very good suggestion. That, you know, we've been doing a lot of this talking about your significant other and you and Joe collecting.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, well, he has a good one that might add to the growing topic pile that we have on that particular subject.
Like, do you want to bring your girlfriend to Bourbon Street at 1 o'clock in the morning when you're going to the strip club?
It's more kind of one of those how to sell it to your significant other. That okay. But really,
do
what
not,
we have.
Do not listen to this episode of What's on Joe Mind.
It's a special edition of What's on Joe Mind. It doesn't count against any other. It just kind of sits out there on its own. But what we have here is Justin pretty much came up with a list of questions that typical we see on the message board. These are questions that your average non-con-going type person asks. So if you're listening to the program and you're unfamiliar with the G.I. Joe Collectors Club and the G.I. Joe Collectors Con, these are some of the questions that we can probably help you with really quick. These are the short FAQs. We also got some links that we'll put in the show notes of some past FAQs that the club has done. They put on their older archived convention sites. And then we have a veteran like Josh here to kind of
hey, you guys, forgot about this. Here's some things I think you should talk about as well. And this is totally unrehearsed. We haven't really done much show prep, much beyond just kind of talking about this. So we're really just kind of winging it. But as you
as
can see,
as opposed to our regular episodes,
we're on one wing pretty much, not just totally winging it. So, Justin, why don't you go ahead and start off on your list here? It just kind of starts off basic. Right. Where is JoeCon?
Yeah, I guess I kind of just ran through this really quick because, you know, as the years have gone on, you see the same questions coming up over and over and over again in various different places. So we figured it might be good just to have one little quick episode, probably less than an hour, just kind of go through the basics. You know, the first thing I just came up with is, where is JoeCon this year? And as Gary and Josh both have mentioned, it's in New Orleans, Louisiana. The reason for that, we're expecting something to do with the extensive amount of movie filming that's been going on there. They're essentially filming the entire movie in New Orleans, so we're wondering if maybe there might be tours of some movie scenes, movie locales as part of the convention. But it's in New Orleans. It's going to be from June 21st, 2012 to June 24th, 2012. Typically what happens is, you know, a couple days ahead of time, they might have a few tours. That's essentially it. It's in New Orleans from the 21st through the 24th next year, June. Sorry, my wife and she was everywhere.
Well, and just out of just to answer our question from earlier, the 2006 convention was June 29th to July 2nd. So we're pretty much in the same window as we were before. Now, right now, we do not know.
So that doesn't mean that Ikipa's there on their annual meeting. Or they go every year, or if that was just a one-time thing, or what?
That would be awesome if they were back.
That would be kind of awesome. Depending on how you want
to
look at that.
First place to tempt people who are trying to be straight edge.
No kidding. No kidding. Welcome to sobriety. Let's go to New Orleans. Yeah, that's great. Thanks.
For those of you that don't know what we're talking about, there was ICKYPAW is an acronym, but basically it's the youth arm of Alcoholics Anonymous.
So we really shouldn't be joking about it.
We really shouldn't, but what they did is they replaced one vice for another. If you went down to the lobby,
One vice for about four other vices. Oh,
jeez, the lobby just had this constant haze of nicotine, smoke, just the entire time. I guess you can smoke in the lobby. I don't know, maybe if you can't now. I don't know. But then there was this dude over here on a cart that had a bunch of ice, and he had nothing but Red Bull. And these kids were just pounding the crap out of Red Bull. And then there were some rumors of some late night festivities in the hallways that I'm sure were nicotine and caffeine fueled. But if you're not sure what we're talking about there, ask us offline and we can probably fill you in a little bit more. So,
and a lot of these people, they weren't even old enough to have really built an addiction yet. They were, I think it was more just I was an alcoholic
at a time
in junior high and I'm trying to break the habit.
But most of the girls in the group, if they looked old enough, they were pretty good looking.
Yeah.
So, yeah. What hotel do we think we'll be at, Justin?
I don't know. It was the Sheraton last time, right?
Yes, it was at the Sheraton. And the Sheraton's pretty cool. It's a high-rise hotel.
It's within a rock's throw of Bourbon Street.
Oh, yes. Two blocks of Bourbon Street. So if they haven't officially announced if it's a Sheraton yet, but if it is a Sheraton, it got high marks for me. What'd you think of it, Josh?
Well, yeah, I didn't stay too long in the Sheraton. I'm not the guy to ask about the hotel because I usually don't stay in the hotel. So, but I mean, the con itself was fine. The hotel was fine. It was kind of like it was interesting walking in that Bourbon Street area. Everything, the hotel, the casinos, Bourbon Street was all, you know, like a typical downtown city, very nice, very well put together. And then you would, you know, walk down a side street and it'd be like a demilitarized zone because, you know, they were still recovering. So I mean, I remember the club saying that they had the con location set and then the hurricane happened and they had to scramble to see whether they could even have the con still or not. And I think they did a really good job of putting things back together to get conventions back down there as quick as they did.
Yep.
Given the way the rest of the city looked.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. I mean, there was obvious something had happened. There was some, you know, there was obviously some construction there, some rebuilding going on.
What I remember was it was 5 o'clock in the afternoon on Thursday, and there was hardly any traffic in the streets.
Yep.
Downtown New Orleans, which, you know, people should be leaving for work or leaving for home from work.
Right.
And the other thing I did notice, and a lot of people were like, there's, you know, maybe a little scared on crime in New Orleans. Basically, there was a policeman at every street corner from the hotel to Bourbon Street. And then once you're on Bourbon Street, there's, you know, mounted police up and down the whole way. I didn't feel at all, and you guys can, you know, maybe speak to the positive or the contrary on this, I didn't feel that I was unsafe at all.
No, not at all. Not in New Orleans. It was really pretty safe. I mean, I felt more out of place in Atlanta than I did at New Orleans.
I could agree to that. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Waiting through the homeless to get back to the hotel was
The homeless weren't really the problem. It was the drug dealers I was more worried about.
Well, them too.
I like the homeless guy in Atlanta trying to tell me where if I wanted to go to a strip club. Yeah. You looking for a strip club, man? you're not gonna have that problem on Bourbon Street, though. That's what we'll say about that.
Atlanta is the only place I've been. I've been to multiple cons there, Dragon Con and Joe Con and all that. And I've been robbed in person and had my car broken into at separate cons. So I really don't like Atlanta too much. And I'm sure it's a great place. I've just had very bad luck there.
Okay.
Yeah, sounds like it. That's no good.
So typically a convention week not just includes the convention, which is registration night on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then the last day, Sunday. Leading up to those days, they have tours and stuff that they have people that come in early, you pay a little bit extra, but you can take part of these tours. Right now, we don't know what those tours are, but there's a lot of attractions in the area beyond Bourbon Street. There is a casino that's just down the road. I believe it's Harrah's. I don't know if it's still there or not, but I remember Harrah's was there in 06. The aquarium, you're about three or four blocks away from the Mississippi River and the waterfront. So there are plenty of things to do if you want to come in early to New Orleans. But we think a lot of the pre-show tours might have to do with going to some of the movie sets. Is that just speculation?
Yeah, it's speculation. I think it's probably pretty healthy speculation. But yeah, it's kind of what I'm speculating. I don't know anything for sure or not, but I mean, it seems to make sense. You know, they're filming the movie down there. They're having the convention down there. It would make sense for them to want to take folks around and show them where certain scenes were filmed and stuff.
Now, there were some other things that we did take part in when I was there. My buddy Don, who's one of the mods on TNI, there was a haunted New Orleans tour, which was kind of overrated. I didn't really see anything that really scared me, but they did take us to the oldest bar in North America. It was a pirate bar, or started off as a pirate hangout, actually, and that was kind of cool. So you definitely had to sit down and enjoy a pint of either grog or beer, whatever you wanted to try there. But generally, that was a slight detraction from the convention time itself. But I'm sure there's other things that will be that you can go on tours of the French Quarter and whatnot. All you have to do is kind of probably ask the concierge and they'll be able to tell you everything you need to know.
The thing we talked about, when can we pick up our convention sets? Basically, well, it depends. I'm going to have to defer to Gary for a little bit of this. I know last year they instituted the whole golden ticket thing? Or was it the year before?
No, last year was the first year for the golden ticket, and actually okay. Josh had a golden ticket, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so Josh could probably speak more to the golden ticket. I can speak more to those that come early or are either a volunteer, like we've done before, Justin, have been go on one of the pre-con tours. The pre-con tour or volunteers pick up their stuff on a Wednesday night before registration night, registration night's Thursday night, Thursday evening. And basically, we just come up, they know you're a volunteer, or they know that you were on the pre-con tour, you get your stuff, and all you do at that time is you get your badge, you get your packet, you get your box set, you get your convention exclusive, and then that's kind of what people call the freebie item, which is in the past has been, what was it in New Orleans? It was the ferrets?
Yeah, what was that? It was 2006. That was, I think that was the mercenary set. If that was the mercenary set, then yeah, it was the ferrets.
So we got ferrets that year, but it's been the red hiss tank before. Sometimes it's been as small as a figure, like the headhunter driver, the black headhunter driver that came out of Dallas.
Last year was the armadillo.
Sure. But that's what, last year was the panther tank, the canceled panther tank from the movie. Yeah. That's what you get that first night. You do not get in line for the club store. You don't buy any of the souvenirs or anything at that point. You don't get to go down the on the club floor. This is strictly for those that come for the pre-con tour who are volunteers.
And the fun thing about that too is that generally they give out the comic. Do they give out the comic that at that point?
Yes,
too,
they do exactly. Like, and the comic kind of tells you. Yes, comic kind of tells you everything else. And that's when you see Josh and other people furiously texting away on their phones, on their netbooks, and what to you, so you could post it up on General Joe's. This is what's coming out tomorrow, people.
That's part of the fun, is that the comic has a lot of things in it. Not necessarily all of it will be in the convention, because I know, like, the year with the, the Red Shadow set, they had the Panther tank on there in the comic, and that didn't end up showing up, and just some funky things like that. But
now, Gary, how many people would you say show up on Wednesday for that tour. You always go on that, right?
I don't always go. I've been on a couple tours. I went on the NASA tour in 2004. Sometimes it depends on the tour. A lot of them don't excite me. Reason why I come in early, it gets me a day in there before everyone else to kind of get the lay of the land, to see what's going on. I'm also volunteering, so I'm going to be picking up my stuff that Wednesday anyways. That's if I get to be accepted as a volunteer again this year. So, Lanny, if you're listening, please consider me as a volunteer again next year. So, anyways.
Dude, you're working for nothing. Of course they're going to take your help.
No, they reward us, but yeah, I mean, it's a fun time, really. So, Angie, you guys, make sure Gary's on the list. But anyways, it depends on the tour, but also, I forgot to mention the people that are in the customs class. Also will be a part of that early pickup group as well. And that's basically the only thing the only thing different from registration night that I do on Wednesday night is I just don't stand in line.
Yep, which is it's a good trade-off, although lines have been getting better the past couple of years.
Yes, they have. They got it going down a lot quicker. I'll give them a lot of credit.
Come a long way since Orlando, when you walked through the lobby at like 10:30 at night and there were still like dozens of people in line. That was murderous. I've never seen it like that.
Yeah.
I think Kansas City was the first line they really got it right, and they've had a good job of it ever since.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about – I think we have one of the things that one of Justin's questions here. We'll talk about the lines. Yeah, when do we hear about the exclusives and that type, so we'll eventually get that. But Josh, I arrive Wednesday for no other reason, just to get there early. And a lot of my friends, dear friends that I've met throughout the con that I've now known for about 10 years or so, I've started coming up early too. And this gives you a chance, without the hustle and bustle of everything else going on, that you can get together with your core group and have yourself a nice dinner or whatever. And then all hell breaks loose the 24 hours from that point, because Thursday night, starting at 6 o'clock, it's on for the, it's 6 o'clock Thursday night till 3 o'clock Sunday afternoon. It's on.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
So I swear, every single time I go to the convention, I swear, this year I'm not going to go crazy. I'm not going to try to get all my coverage up there first. I'm not going to do this. I'm just going to go and enjoy myself. And then, like Gary says, it's like the starter pistol goes off and it's just chaos. And I can't help myself.
Josh, you could speak a little bit more, though, to the golden ticket. Explain the golden ticket program and why people should maybe consider a golden ticket when it comes time to register.
Well, last year, the reason I bought it ahead of time, because I'm a degenerate, basically. I mean, I bought it before we even knew that we were going to get three times each, just because I like, I like being able to get into a lot of that stuff early, avoid the lines. I wouldn't do it with any other con but JoeCon, because I've been to so many of them. But basically what you do, you're paying, I think it was an extra $250, and you get, last year at least, you got three times the amount of limits on the con product as any other attendee on the first night. Mm-hmm. You get basically in line to a lot of stuff early. You get a special collector's pin, which really, that isn't worth the $250, but it's nice to have. What they did was they had the collector's pin this year was the Python Patrol pin, and then they made a gold version of it for the golden ticket.
I have seen those pins go for well over $70 by themselves on eBay.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Not the golden ticket, but the regular convention pins. Not the ones that come. This is the first 100 pins. That's what we're talking about.
Right.
Yes.
If you're one of the first 100 registrants, you will get a special for the 3 3/4 collectors. You get a pin. For the 12-inch collectors, I think it's a jacket, a leather 1/6 scale leather jacket that has a convention logo on the back. And that's what you get as your first 100. But these little pins, each one of the golden ticket holders, which there was a limit to how many golden tickets were sold, but they got these pins as well. But I've seen the regular first 100 pins go for well over $70 on eBay.
Yeah, and I think one of the golden ticket pins, I don't know if you guys know Troy, he bought one, I think, for $75 right there at the show, because he had to have a complete set. So
Troy has no limits and he has his own problems, so that doesn't surprise any one of us.
So and finally, I think the last thing we got was we got a special golden ticket only dinner where you get to meet and greet the guests, the con staff. The food was, Saturday nights the food at the convention is good, but it's it's cafeteria style. The food we got at the golden ticket dinner,
wasn't that Friday night?
Yeah, it was Friday night.
Yeah.
That food was good. That was, there wasn't a lot of it, but it was like, you had sushi, you had really nice cheeses, and what else was there? Basically, it was probably, how you sit down at Golden Corral, that's what Saturday night is, you know, or like Ponderosa Steakhouse type thing. Well, mm-hmm. you're going to, you know, like a much, much nicer restaurant type of thing. That's what Golden Ticket will get you. But so anyway, that extra $250, to me, it was if you're going to the con and you basically you want an army build, you definitely want to get the Golden Ticket. There was only 25 or 50 Golden Tickets total.
50.
50. Okay. Yeah, it was 25 for the 12-inchers. That's right. So altogether, that first night, we each got three times of each. And I mean, I ended up getting them for friends and everything, but everyone else on the line got one. So if you were wanting to get extras of con stuff from here on out, I think the Golden Ticket is going to be kind of pretty necessary, which I do feel bad that, you know, we're getting to that point where we have VIP packages with this con. But mm-hmm. that being said, I still, if it helps grow, you know, more, get more money for the con so we can do more things, then I'm okay with that. Because, I mean, as long as everybody who walks through the line gets one of each figure. I mean, really, right. when you think about it, originally, Brian even said, you know, the night before, he realized, oh, wait a minute, if I let everybody get two times and the Golden Ticket gets six times, this could be a disaster. So it was, they fixed it at the end. Hopefully next year it's not going to be that problem. I don't think they're going to allow, I think they're going to do it probably like two times. So we get 4X and everybody else gets 2X again. So there's not the same issue. Mm-hmm. But it's hard for the club to figure out, okay, Rhode Island, hardly anything sold out. And then yeah. Orlando, bam, it's all gone by Friday morning. So right. it's hard to plan ahead. I understand. So hopefully next year they'll plan the Golden Ticket accordingly and maybe either allow for more Golden Ticket packages or, you know, change it around so we don't have people walking out with only one of each figure, whatever next year is. So,
well, I have a sneaking suspicion that this year is going to be a very, very popular year. So I think people should, any kind of Joe fan who's considering buying a Golden Ticket or considering getting some of these con exclusives, make sure you jump on them when you get the chance. I have a feeling, you know, because they're going to they're sticking with this modern style as far as I'm aware.
And the momentum from Mission Brazil is huge.
Exactly, yeah. So I would suspect that these are going to move quick. Expect the same sort of demand that you see for Mission Brazil stuff where, you know, I'm still trying to get myself a red water moccasin and I don't want to pay $130 for it. And so far that's not happening. The Python Patrol Stinger too. You know, I miss one con and all of a sudden I'm up the creek without a paddle trying to get some of this stuff. So,
well, one thing that worries me about Golden Ticket for next year is there were so many people who, I don't want to use the scalper word, but people who are yeah. resellers
right.
are looking at that Golden Ticket and like, wow, look how much the concepts went for last year. They have that short-term memory, mm-hmm. and they're going to say, oh, I need to get a Golden Ticket next year. So you might, the people who might want a Golden Ticket, don't wait on it. When it comes out
yeah,
of registration,
exactly.
register quick, because I think there's going to be a lot of resellers who are going to pick these mm-hmm. up. And it might, you know, it might go to bite them in the butt like it has in years past. Like after Atlanta, everything sold out fast. The Roddy Pipers were crazy. And then the next yep. year, the figures weren't nearly what they were.
Right. Well, just something tells me the Collectors Club has found the formula that they like. And I think, I think as popular as Mission Brazil was last year, I think this year is just going to surprise a lot of people.
And Josh said something that I echo a lot on the program, and that's don't hesitate. When it comes to the club stuff, don't hesitate. And this is one of those things. Actually, I found while you guys were talking, I did find the bullet points for the Golden Ticket from last year.
Oh, cool.
Actually, I'm glad I looked this up because I am wrong. Golden Ticket people could pick up stuff on Wednesday. Early package pickup on Wednesday night and Thursday before the regular posted pickup time. So if you were arrive Wednesday, you can pick up Wednesday. If you didn't get a chance to arrive Wednesday, you were the first to pick up your stuff on Thursday. And then you can go right to the convention store or con store line, or I should say the club store line right at that point. We'll
so
explain.
Golden Ticket folks could pick up the attendee stuff too on Wednesday?
Yes.
Really? I don't remember seeing any info.
Did
they take that back?
No. It was we got the con set on Wednesday and
the freebie
remember,
item.
You were in the line with us on Thursday night to get the attendee stuff because you were
that's the club store I was talking about. That means on Thursday you registered, you got your stuff Wednesday night, and then Thursday you went right to the club store.
Yes.
And that yeah.
Okay, so you're just talking about the con set and the freebie, not
yeah.
the
there's so many terms that are tossed around. I call them souvenirs and stuff like that. Yeah. And other people are like exclusive items. We'll try to nail that down so we don't sound like a bunch of raging lunatics, but which is we're not doing such a good job right now. Early shopping time at the club store for exclusives before the regular posted pickup times and triple the regular amount on exclusive convention souvenirs. And so that basically just repeat what I just said. If you picked up Wednesday night, you went right to the store line. If you didn't pick up Wednesday night, you registered, and then you went straight to the store line.
Josh said, you might expect that to change this year.
Yeah, that when that line went down and went to nothing, or there's a few people left, then they opened the doors to everyone else. And actually, being a volunteer, it was nice that I was able to jump in that line as well, so that I was able to get my stuff out of the way.
You even jumped ahead of that line.
they told me it because I had to get my stuff, and they're like, yeah, come on up here. And then it was myself and, who was it, Carl, and a couple other people got a chance to do that. But that's rare in itself.
Did you have to wear that corny orange vest again?
No, but, dude, what's wrong with the orange vest? You like fluorescent.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point. I was like Battlecore. I was rocking Battlecore that night, that year.
Well, somewhere on the internet, you'll find pictures of me and Justin with our orange traffic vest, but no, I did not. Okay, then they talk about the exclusive golden ticket pin. Then the meet and greet, which was autograph pictures, light hors d'oeuvres. That was Friday night with the special convention guests and celebrities. Reserve seating in the first three rows at all panels. We'll talk about that here in a second. Extra $1,000 in credit for the casino night dinner and auction.
That went fast.
Yeah. The reserve seating, I don't think that really – that's nice and all. But what if your buddy didn't –
It really is.
Well, what if your buddy didn't buy a golden ticket? He's now sitting back and you're – you know.
No, I agree with that. But it was really nice just – you know, when you go into in one of those rooms, if you're not waiting – well, not so much.
Those rooms are huge though.
Yeah. But you can just walk in whenever you want. And then you sit in the front. You don't have to worry about – I don't know. It's not worth the price of a golden ticket, but it's a nice extra. The one thing that I will say, though, is they – given there was only 50 people on the golden ticket, they didn't
need filling up three rows.
Yeah, three rows was way too many. So I think the next time if they just give, like, you know, the first row, that will probably be plenty, I would think.
Okay, let's go on to the next question.
All right. What are we on? Are we on five? Are we on six? I think we're on five. Good grief. Five is, do we have to buy a convention set to get into the convention? I hear this from a lot of different people. The answer is, if you want to get into the convention early, get all the seminars, get all that stuff, yes, you do have to buy a set. If you just want to show up on the day of the show, which is, what, Saturday and Sunday?
It's called general admission. They call it general admission.
Right. And it's like $8 or something, $8 or $10.
I think it's a little bit more than that. And also, I think you can buy wristbands for an additional amount from the club store. So you can get in for the autographs and allows you to get into, if you want to go to one of the seminars or speakers. But the way the club has it set up is that golden ticket first, then paid attendees, then a general admission folks give. But again, those rooms are so huge. Be respectful, but yeah, you could do everything if you are general admission, just get in and see. That's the sales floor. That's how
right. The quick answer is yes, you can go into the sales floor, see Hasbro displays, you can buy additional wristbands to get into some of the seminars and stuff like that. So you can go without buying the full-blown convention set. To be honest, I don't know why you would. I mean, this, even if you don't want the convention set, if you turn around and flip it, you could probably flip it to somebody who's in there on the sales floor and make your money back and be able to go to all the seminars, be able to get in there on Wednesday, see some stuff early, get the sneak peek at the sales floor early before the regular general admission folks. So there's a lot of benefits to buying the actual convention set, but you don't have to buy it in order to go see what you want to see.
Right, and even the store is open to general admission people when the floor is open to general admission people. But if you were hoping to make – okay, let's say you live somewhere in Louisiana or in a state nearby, and you're going, oh, I'm going to drive in for the day, and I hope they always have a three-pack, okay? I hope they have that three-pack of it. Chances are pretty slim, and the last couple years have shown us that if you try to come in a day or so after as a general admission, you're probably going to come up empty. So set your expectations. You might want to either have someone go ahead and that's a registered pick it up for you, find it on the secondary market, but you can't guarantee yourself as a general admission person to be able to find all that stuff, all the convention exclusive or souvenirs, as I call them, available on that day.
It's not going to happen, most likely.
That can't be said enough, because there are so many people who just go into a rage on Saturday, showing up. Oh my God, the club hates me because the club
should have thought of that. They should have thought that I was coming. They should have saved an extra one for me. And all these scalpers are tossing. Whatever. We're just giving you a friendly warning right now. That if past history has shown us anything, and if you've been paying attention as well, past history has shown you anything, you might want to make alternative plans.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think it's also worth mentioning that when people, you know, balk at the high price saying, I have to pay this much for this 15-figure set to get into the show, you know, it's not just the figures you're paying for. That price also pays for most of the con. If you look at this year was the first year they did PowerCon for He-Man in Los Angeles. They had no exclusive figures. you didn't even get a t-shirt. You got like stickers and a CD or some of that, and you paid $120 to go to the show. So you're really lucky that you get this extra stuff. I mean, if you're not action figure collector, you're not really lucky. But I mean, if you're an action figure collector, you're really lucky we get that full set, and that gets you into the con too. So it's really not that bad a deal.
In a lot of cases, like San Diego Comic-Con or even New York Comic-Con, a lot of times there are like $30 or $40 per day tickets that you have to buy, and you don't get anything out of it. You got to take your chance on getting exclusives and pay more money for them. So in the grand scheme of things, it's not so bad to have to drop that cash to get that 15-figure set.
And these are club exclusives. These are not Hasbro exclusives,
right,
unlike
exactly.
San Diego Comic-Con. That is a Hasbro exclusive. It's a little bit different. Actually, Hasbro has not sold exclusives at the convention, at the JoeCon, ever. Going back to my first con, 2003, and I'm assuming even before then, they weren't really selling. When they have a booth, the booth is just there to show upcoming product.
Right. And since we're talking about exclusives, a lot of people are wondering, when do we hear about the exclusives?
Next question.
And see that? You like that?
Yeah, that was a good segue. We are learning. We are pros now.
It only took about 30 episodes.
No kidding. Jeez.
So basically what will happen is pretty soon, I would think maybe within the next month or so, you should hear about a convention brochure. And that's kind of your first indication about what's going to come with the set. When you hear that the club has posted the convention brochure, everybody run over to GIJoeCon.com. Check out that brochure, because generally in that brochure, they will give you an outline of what the sets are going to be. The 3¾-inch set with Special Missions Brazil, with Lieutenant Claymore leading this team. And I mean, you don't hear everything, but you do get a good idea of what the set's going to consist of. So the convention brochure is what's going to give you your first glimpse. And then generally a little while after the brochure gets posted, the club will start putting pictures up here and there on their site and kind of revealing some stuff little by little. But generally, the only things you really know about prior to the show are the actual 15-figure set. That's generally it. Even the freebie, a lot of times, is they keep concealed until
yes.
the show hits.
There have been rare cases, and actually the last show in New Orleans was that rare case.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, in Atlanta, too, where they said, hey, you're going to be getting carded Sergeant Slaughter and then the carded Marauders as well.
Yeah.
But that's the only time, other than Piper, that we knew going in that you were getting something beyond what the surprise is at registration night.
Yep. And, you know, I'll be honest, I mean, a lot of people kind of and moan and say, oh, I wish I knew what I was getting. I kind of like that, you know, not really knowing what's happening. And it was a little bit of a bummer, that show with Slaughter and the Marauders or the Renegades, because you kind of knew a lot of what you were getting before you got there, and there wasn't quite so much excitement when you hit the sales floor and, you know, the rushing over to the display cases and everything.
Well, here's another good segue, because, you know, everyone wants to know, mm-hmm. how much are the exclusives?
Yes, how much money should you bring? And you know, it depends. It doesn't, in one way it changes every year, in one way it doesn't change every year. The Collectors Club kind of has a formula. You know, typically there's a 3-pack, sometimes it's just a 2-pack. Typically there's might be a little vehicle or a medium-sized vehicle, driver for that vehicle. It might be a larger vehicle. You know, generally what I've found, if you think about what you want to bring to get, if you want to get one of each of the extras, I'm usually thinking you budget around $250 to bring down to get one of each of the extras. Am I kind of off the mark there, Gary, or is that about...
Josh?
I was thinking. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, because you don't know for sure. There's no concrete formula. It's not always, okay, you have one medium vehicle, one small vehicle, one 3-pack. It can kind of fluctuate back and forth. But generally, you know, anywhere from $200 to $250 bucks is going to cover you for all the attendee extras that they have down there on the floor when you get there.
I'm looking at my receipts from last year. With the dial tone, it was $275. So it was about $50 without the dial tone.
Gotcha.
Actually, I have my form from last year right here. Talk about Gary actually doing some show prep on this one.
I'm impressed. I have no idea what my form even is. Well, I don't have a form for last
year. That's right. What would you have a form for?
For sitting on my ass at home and hitting refresh a bunch of times on my keyboard.
Yeah. Python Patrol Specialist 2-pack, limited edition $650, $45. Python Patrol Stinger with Motor Viper, limited edition of $560. Python Patrol Water Moccasin, limited edition $435. Python Patrol Televiper Parachute Officer, $20. Silver Edition Cobra Commander, limited edition of $500 with display system, which is the Mickey Mouse Cobra Commander.
Mm-hmm.
That was $22. That was a hell of a deal. Carded dial tone at the time, if everyone remembers the hubbub over all that, limited edition of $625. So as Josh added it all up, what'd you say the number was?
It was like $275 total, but that's got to be wrong, because the Cobra Commander would have made it not even number of not a, you know, a, not a base five. So probably 275, 277.
300.
300.
Okay. Budget. Well, now budget 300, and you're fine.
Yeah.
And that's a 300 on top of you paying for your convention package, by the way.
Right. And I know I can already through the airwaves feel Joe fans wincing and kind of saying, oh, that's a lot of money. It is. You know, if you kind of take, you know, hedge your bets a little bit and pick some extra stuff while you're down there, you can make your money back. I mean, what, are Stinger selling for $150, $170 on their own right now?
I flipped mine and got I got another set of everything and flipped it all for four times what I paid for it.
I mean, so you're going to make money. And I know people frown on that.
I wasn't scalping. I started it off as that's a price that I paid for it.
Right. Yeah. You put it up on eBay and it's
let the market decide.
People bid the hell out of it. So, and you know, I would do that in a second.
I don't see anything wrong. And a lot of collectors need to really look seriously at this. You can budget your entire, now you can't rely on it, but because it depends on year to year, but you could easily tell your wife or girlfriend or whatever, like, hey, you know, I'm going to go down to con and I'm going to pay my way by selling off my extras.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you can't plan on it because like last year, you don't have a golden ticket. You only get one of each. And that really hurt people. But it's always something to fall back on where you can say, well, maybe, you know, it might not be so bad. And as well, this last year was the first time I ever saw it happen. The loose set sold out at the show. So
yeah.
If you want a loose set, make sure to get one with your registration when you send it in. Don't wait.
Yep. And again, I will encourage our listeners this year, follow that advice. Trust me, just follow that advice, because I think there's going to be a lot of people who say, well, you know, the convention sets don't always sell out. Last year was an anomaly. I think this year, if you think last year was an anomaly, this year is even going to be a bigger anomaly, just because you got the movie kind of driving popularity. You've got, you know, the Collectors Club finding their formula. You've got a whole lot of speculation going on based on what happened last year. It's going to be kind of a perfect storm. And I foresee a lot of frustration, a lot of rage, and a lot of secondary value in the set this year. That's just, or next year. That's just kind of my sneaking suspicion.
And keep in mind, when you think that the prices are inflated on eBay, why don't you go to the convention for a change, and then you'll find out what you're seeing on eBay is actually quite a bargain if you stay at home.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah,
I mean, you know, I flipped one of my dial tones for $150. I can't find a plane ticket for less than $150 down in Orlando. So I think that person might have saved themselves a little money. Now, they might not like, you know, it was $150. I didn't decide that. That was the market that decided that. But, you know, you think about people like, well, I should be getting it at the cost that the person should buy it. No. I mean, if you get the hookup from a buddy, right. Yeah, but, you know, that's entirely different. Just keep that in mind, that for me to get down and back already, we've already looked at tickets.
Mm-hmm.
For myself, my wife, and Katie, it's a grand to get down there. Okay, it's going to be $129 or $139. Those are the two numbers a night at the hotel that we've had in the past. So you start adding all that up. Okay, then there's food. Mm-hmm. Then there's $300 for registration, which we pay a couple months in advance. Another $300 for exclusives. I'm up to $2,500 easily there. And people complain at paying $150 for a dial tone.
Yeah. Not to mention the fact that if you want to get these extras, I mean, yeah, the golden ticket stuff aside, if you want to get these extras, you're going through the line two or three times, and you can't just go through the line a second time and say, okay, now I want four of everything. Oh, no, if you want to get more than two, you got to go through the line, buy your stuff, go back to the end of the line, go back through the line.
See, I had a little advantage where my buddy Jay wanted me to pick him up a set, so he paid the money, and then my wife got that badge.
Yeah.
Then I had another buddy that wanted the set. My daughter got that badge.
Yeah.
So when you go to the club store, it's your limit on that badge. It's not for your entire family.
Badge. Yeah,
so
that helps.
Debbie had the limit of whatever, Katie had the limit of whatever, and I had a limit. Mm-hmm. And thankfully, those guys, they only wanted the set. They didn't want all the extras, so
right.
I got to take their limits. So keep that in mind, that you can also register other people in your party, and that increases your limit if you get them the full badge. Or you can also sign them up for an aid package, which is something we can talk about later.
Yep. And you'll find out that Gary really knows how to game the system, too. So he's got it all figured out.
Hey. What's next?
What's next? The last real question we have is, what kind of seminars will we see at the convention? And again, you know, we've got, you know, this is just kind of the frosting on the cake. And if people are listening to the show and they have more questions, just email us at whatsonjoemind@gmail.com. And we'll tackle them during our regular shows, too. But we kind of want to just put a special edition out there just to kind of capture a bunch of the stuff all at once. Pretty much the most popular seminar in the whole convention weekend would be the Hasbro seminar, where the Hasbro reps show up and kind of showcase what might be coming out, some stuff that that's on the horizon. They'll do a little slideshow. Typically what happens is on Friday you get a sneak peek of the Hasbro display that's on the sales floor. There'll be some new stuff out there you can kind of drool over. Then Hasbro will do their slideshow presentation, and then after that's done, some other new stuff will end up in the display for you to drool over some more.
Let me interrupt you for a sec.
Yeah, sure.
A lot of the stuff you see right off the bat's not much different than what you saw at Toy Fair back in February.
Yes, true. That is true. Although in this case, you know, that might change a little bit. I mean,
it could change. Obviously, that could always change, but past history has always been, you look at the, yeah, you're like, I've seen that. And like, where's the new stuff? You know, and then, well, that's, we just got to wait.
The con was early last year. It was in April, so, I mean, it was only a month or two. It was a couple months after Toy Fair. So, yeah, last year especially, you didn't see a whole lot of new stuff. I'm hoping maybe next year, since it's later on in the year, maybe instead of San Diego Comic-Con showing off some stuff, although we didn't see any new stuff at SDCC this year either, maybe some, we'll get some of that stuff at JoeCon, because, you know, that's kind of a big perk for the Joe fans to go to JoeCon and see some new stuff. So, hopefully we'll get that treat next year. Although, to be honest with you, I'm almost expecting maybe a little bit more of a movie-centric thing this year, where maybe we might get a sneak preview of the movie or some other stuff, you know, geared towards Retaliation. As far as other seminars, does IDW do a comic seminar at all?
There's typically a comic seminar. I can look at last year's schedule really, really quick.
I know the Collectors Club obviously does their roundtable, which is actually can be really beneficial to collectors. I really encourage you guys to go to the Collectors Club roundtable, because I see a lot of people making comments kind of off the cuff who don't necessarily know the history, don't necessarily know what goes on behind the scenes. And going to those roundtables gives you a great chance to interact directly with guys like Dave and Lanny and Brian and really find out kind of what goes into the design and production of the figures. You can ask questions to them, kind of learn some stuff. I mean, you know, what fun is the Joe hobby if you're not learning things and you're not getting the most out of it? I mean,
up until the last couple of years, they've kind of taken control of the meeting a little bit better. The first couple of years were sessions.
Yes.
Yeah, why didn't you do this? How come you couldn't do that? Blah, 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 blah. Now they come in, and a lot of us, we want to know, show us the artwork. Show us, as Justin says, the soup nuts. Show us how everything goes, mm-hmm. and that's what they do. And he'll show, here's the first test shot of Cobra Diaco from last year. Oh, actually, what is one of the one that they went round and round with? Natalie Poole was the one Natalie they showed Poole, us a lot. Right. Here's how she started off, and we're like, oof. And here's how she ended up. Oof, not much better, but definitely an improvement type thing. And they show step by step, and then they show how the box art is drawn.
Yeah, that's always really cool, because Lanny actually does a lot of the design.
Lanny is a great artist.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And not just so much on the seminars, but like that you can really interact with the club, but those questionnaires at the end of the convention, hand those in, because that's where you influence what the club does. And when you know, people complain, we're sitting at home, who say, oh, why didn't they do this? Why didn't they do that? They're not going to listen to you if you're just going to be sitting there and you're not going to spend any money at their show. I mean, I'm not trying to be callous, but they are catering to the club members who go to their show. So if you go to their show and you tell them, I want Night Force next year, you know, and if enough of us say it, then they're going to do it, because those are the people who are going to buy the set. So you're right. I mean, Justin, definitely, when you need to go to the seminar, you need to, you know, ask your questions, because you're going to get an answer from Brian Savage himself or from Dave. David Lane.
Guess what con site I've been asking for the last couple of years?
What's that?
New Orleans. So,
and you know, when I've been filling up that form that Josh is talking about, some things that I've put down on there over the years, you know, I'd love the DEF and the Headhunters. I would love the Red Shadows. I would love some international stuff. I would love a jungle theme thing. And you sit back and you look at, you think about what you put on those forms, and you look at the concepts that came out, and wow, how about that? It's actually taking some input from the collectors and incorporating that into the convention sets. And that makes sense for the club, because, you know, obviously if more people are asking for that, more people are likely to buy it. And it makes sense for you to take some time and fill out that 5 or 6 page questionnaire, because you are going to influence what happens.
I mean, it does take some time. Sorry to interrupt you. Sorry, Justin.
No, that's fine.
It does take some time to fill that form out. And then you sit there and you think about it. Normally it would be off the cuff. I want to see this. This is you're thinking, crap, what do I want to see again? But they also use those. Go ahead.
It's kind of a unique opportunity, because you're not going to be able to sit in a meeting room with Hasbro reps and say, you know, you should make this toy, you should make this toy, and have them listen to you. The club, you can really have a direct interaction with the club and say, you know, I would love to see this, I would love to see this. And they are going to take that input and take it into consideration and think about, you know, making future sets out of it. So I think it's a very unique opportunity for collectors to be involved in the decision process.
And I think they do use it to kind of help get a idea of the free figure, too. I know not to pump up his ego any, but, you know...
I was just going to mention that.
Not Roshan, but that's the other Roshan, King of Pain. He pestered the shit out of him. I'm going to bleep that about
every
having
year.
Big Lob every freaking year. And all of a sudden, they announced Big Lob. And he basically, once they announced, it was during one of the roundtables, he starts having a parade around the room. So, yeah, you put down the figures that you want to see. You got to give them your feedback. You put in, you get out of the club what you put into it. If you want to hand them an empty form, fine, hand them an empty form. But if they come out next year with Sky Patrol and you don't like it, tough darts.
Yeah, and there's been a lot of people online, you know, this week, or not just this week, for a while, who will say, you know, the club are just a bunch of online dealers who have a contract with the Hasbro. Now, these guys are collectors. These guys are collectors who've been around for a long time. Some of them are 12-inch collectors, but, you know, some of them are, but a lot of them, like David Lane, he started the Steel Brigade fan club back in the 90s, or was it even the 80s? I don't even remember, but these guys are collectors, and
yep.
they do value yep. your input.
Yeah. Any other questions that we can think of off the top of our head before maybe getting into the email real quick?
I can't think of any now. No, I think we covered most of the big ones. And of course, like I said, if there's anything that you want us to talk about that we didn't talk about here, just send us the email, you know, whatsonjoemind@gmail.com, or stop by our Facebook page and, you know, drop the questions there, and we'll definitely talk about them during the regular shows.
I will say that, you know, getting to New Orleans isn't very hard. They could do a major international airport.
Yep.
Just about every airline flies into it, so that's not an issue there. If you want to drive, that's... it's a bit of a haul for just about anybody because it's way down pretty much on one of the southern tips of the country. Temperature-wise, it's going to be in the 80s and 90s and humid, so keep that in mind. But also keep in mind that Bourbon Street might not be the best place for you to have like an 8- or 9-year-old. Just keep that in mind. What else can you think of that a lot of people ask? I will get into the question that P-Love sent about the convincing your significant other, but would you guys think of anything else that we can add to this?
No, I think we pretty much covered it.
This is from our friend P-Love from Joe Customs. He's a convention vet, too. I do believe he won the custom contest one year, so he's definitely been around the block. He said, one thing I'd want to add is for the wives and girlfriends, the ones not getting married that weekend. So he's probably maybe thinking Greg's going to get married that weekend.
Yeah.
We'll see. Prepare to be bored. besides a mega butt ton of geek news most of them won't care about, there will also be thousands of times when there will be a little man huddles of guys just standing around talking about what they just saw, heard, while waiting for something to happen next. The sales floor is getting ready to open, the guy's in a huddle, the presentation is about to start, guy's in a huddle, club exclusive line isn't moving, guy's in a huddle, waiting for friends to meet up and decide where to eat, guy's in a huddle, waiting for the con dinner to start, yep. You guessed it, guys, in a huddle. Gary and Justin have said it several times before on What's On Your Mind podcast. Thank you very much for pitching our show. It's very similar to what happens at the con when the con events aren't happening. It's like that for 4 days straight. Sell them on the vacation aspect. Yeah. Sell them on the vacation aspect of it. Sell them on New Orleans and shopping. But be honest with them, because if they want to hang out with you, they'll be standing around and listening to guys talk about toys and stuff for 4 days in a huddle.
I would disagree with, at the very least, Saturday night. You could take your wife to Saturday night and have a good time.
The dinner? Yeah.
Because they could play bingo with you all night or play cards, and the food's good. It's really, if you took the Joes out of Saturday night, you have a great night out with your wife. So all she has to do is ignore the fact that there are little action figures all over the place, and you're good to go.
Yeah, my wife's a closet problem gambler, I think. And when casino night comes around, guys, listen, find me at con. If you guys want to have someone added to you, because what they do is during casino night, everyone kind of pools the money, and then they go to the auction afterwards, and they'll have like the fuchsia Crimson, the Fuchsia Crimson Strike Team sets they've had left over, and some other odds and ends from previous conventions, and people will pool their money and they'll try to, you know, bet on these things or bid on these things as the auction goes on. And one year, my wife got in with actually a bunch of guys from Joe Customs, and they all pooled their money together, and then they got enough money to get one of the Fuchsia sets, which is always one of the highly sought after items, is get one of the Fuchsia sets. And out of the results, I think I got a Trooper and the Baroness, just because she's a problem gambler and she got in with the right group. So there there you go. You can have, and I'm really, I think I'm an exception to the rule, because I can't go to the con now without her, because she wants to come. She likes the things. These are her friends now. The 2 years, ironically, one of them was that I didn't take her was the first New Orleans con. Everyone's like, where's your wife? Where's your wife? So they're kind of expecting to see her.
Really, your wife is a lot more popular at those shows than you are.
Yeah, that's pretty much her and my daughter. Yeah,
she's
entirely.
A few wives who cross the lines and hang out with the guys just as well.
I was going to say, it's not Debbie coming with you. You're tagging along with her.
Well, yeah, and she'll turn around and do you want me to grab something else in the club store for you? And she'll turn around and get right back in line. it's amazing. But, yeah, I'm extremely lucky. So how do you convince the I'm not so sure about a bunch of geeks? You know, I've seen other conventions before. I've been to Justin, as you said, I don't know who would pay $25 to be a general admission on one of these things. Yeah, I paid $25 to go to BotCon one day. Oof, when it was down in Cincinnati, and that was a waste of money. But yeah, different type of people there. Yeah, I don't think I could convince my wife to go to a BotCon ever. If for some reason I got hit upside the head hard enough to make me convince myself that I actually want to go to a BotCon. But it's what do you say, guys? I mean, it's pretty much generally a normal group of guys. I mean, there's some geekdom stuff going on, but there's pretty normal, right?
Yeah, definitely. That's what people. They get all these like weird preconceived notions.
People smell well
about.
There's always it's every con.
Yeah, people dressed up in costume all the time. No, not really.
Yeah,
there's some people, but not everybody.
Remarkably normal. They're remarkably normal, and you'll have a good time. Don't be. I mean, they're not like all whacked out weirdos, and it's not like you see all those internet websites that pop up after SDCC with all these people stuffed into these ridiculous costumes. Yeah, there's people dressed up, but it's all in good fun. And like you said, they're totally normal, totally cool. You can pretty much stop in the middle of the sales floor and talk to anybody, and they will talk back. And it's a good time. It's nothing to get too wound up over. It's a lot of fun, and just go enjoy yourself for a weekend.
And I know that other guys, my buddy George brings his wife. Jason, our buddy Southson, will be there this year. He'll have his wife. I know there'll be other guys that will have their wives there. There's kind of a wives club thing that kind of goes on where they'll kind of scoot off over in the corner and do their own things, and that's great. So, if you're having a hard time convincing the old wife, or girlfriend, I mean, there's a lot of stuff to do. Bourbon Street should be experienced once in your lifetime, and there are other things to do there. Like we said, there's an aquarium. If you're going to drive down, I'm sure there's other things you can hit on the way down there. There's but once you get down there, there's the convention itself, the casino, Bourbon Street, French Quarter, a lot of history to go explore. There is that aspect to it. So convince the lady to come. There's nothing wrong with that.
You could almost say to your wife or significant other, at least if you have a lot of friends in the community, you can treat it like a high school reunion. There's going to be people there who are your best friends. There's going to be people there who you've known forever and you hate, people you've known forever and you like, that kind of thing. So if you just ignore the action figure aspect and say, I'm going to hang out with my buddies and you want to come along type of thing. And this show, I mean, especially with a family, this show is a lot harder to sell than Disney was. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I know Gary, you mentioned all those things, but not very many of those things other than the aquarium are very family friendly. So getting the wife with the kids to come along, it's going to be a stretch. I already know. I'm just bringing my son. I'm not even going to try to bring my wife this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't bring my wife to any of these, but that's not necessarily because she wouldn't want to go. It's just, I mean, this is kind of my guy's weekend, and, I have all the respect in the world for Gary, who brings Debbie every year. But to me, I don't want to have to worry about, what my wife is doing any given time during the weekend. I just want to go have fun, do what I want to do, and not have to worry about it.
But I would be up the old Brown Creek if she's already asked me, if it's New Orleans, should I really come this year? And the right answer was, yes, honey, I want you to come. And I knew that answer, and I said that answer. If I said anything else, I probably wouldn't be in any condition to be on this podcast right now.
Yeah, wasn't she pretty upset at you for not being able to go to CanadaCon this year, and you did?
Well, yeah, but now she has a passport, so I don't have an escape anymore. So, yeah, she's probably going to come up to CanadaCon with me, but that's probably for August or September, I guess. I don't know. We'll find out here soon enough on that. But anything else from any other questions?
Yeah. I think we covered it. I think that's about it. Just a little special edition show to kind of give people some intel and hopefully make them a little bit more educated about the convention process. And
try. It does get a little confusing sometimes. So if you
it does, yeah.
Have a question, feel free to write us. And
there's a lot of stuff
really
we
clear,
take for granted.
Yeah. If you think that there's something wasn't clear enough, just write us. Say, hey, you weren't clear here. Explain that again, and we'll try to clear it up. But like Dave Lane said on the club board, if you found it.
It's a low blow, Gary.
But like he said on the board anyways, he said that we're giving you more than 6 months to plan, so you got plenty of time to save.
Yep.
Network with people. Network with your friends. Try to find a roommate. Help offset those costs. Whatever you can do. Those are great ideas.
Yeah, and a rule of thumb, about 4 is a max for any hotel room. After that, any over that, you're kind of just asking for trouble.
Yeah.
I think 4's been my max so far. 4's been a max.
Yeah, I do believe my buddies from Dayton rolled about 6 or 7 in the room with one of them okay. pregnant. Yeah.
Oh, that wasn't by choice. They didn't plan that.
I don't remember really the whole reasoning behind it, but yeah, it was like watching a clown car empty. All right. So that is a special edition. We'll get us out of here with some contact information. Well, that does it. We appreciate you downloading and listening to this special edition. This is special edition number 4 now. You can text us, or actually you can talk to us at whatsonjoemind@gmail.com. So any questions you have, use it. We'll help you out. Call or text us at 262-515-WOJM. Again, any questions, feel free to use those numbers. Call or text us there. You can read about us at Facebook, facebook.com/whatsonjoemind. On Facebook, you'll find links to our Podbean site, where you can ask us more questions if you like, and you can find all the links for our social networking profiles and active forum threads, such as from such forums as Joe to Classified and the G.I. Joe Collectors Club, if you can find it.
It's a low blow, Gary.
Download our show at iTunes, InsidePulse.com, Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it for free in your app store at Stitcher.com. Check out GeekCastRadio.com for other great flagship podcast shows such as Telecast, Movie Week in Review, Tooncast Beyond, and GeekCast Radio. Find them all at GeekCastRadio.com and unleash the geek in you today. Once again, I'd like to thank our guest, Josh, for on very short notice joining us.
Good talking to you, Josh.
And here's a hint, folks. I trust that we probably haven't heard the last of his voice on a Joe podcast somewhere. I'll say anything else. But if you have any questions, be sure to hit this man up. If you have any questions about Joe Con on the forums, again, his screen name is Roshan, R-O-S-H-A-N. Hit him up. He'll answer your questions as well. Next week, well, be sure to listen to number 28. We will review probably the New Orleans announcement again, along with other news of the week. So, for our guest, Josh, my co-host, Justin, I'm Gary, saying to all of you, we'll see you in New Orleans. Good night, folks, and thanks for listening to the special edition of What's on Joe Mind, the official podcast of Roll Out Roll Call 3 and your podcast home, albeit unofficial, for the Joe Con 2012 news. See ya.
See ya.